The New York Giants continue with their OTAs, but there's media access in this particular one coming up. What will I be looking for? And I have some thoughts about what we see and what it all means. That's coming up next, along with some of your questions on today's Locked On Giants podcast.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Giants podcast, part of the Locked On podcast family, your team every day. My name is Patricia Traina. It is Thursday. We're already on Thursday. Wow, that was fast, right? The week is flying by. And welcome in to everybody, my everydayers, my newcomers, my everybody in between. Thank you so much for making the Locked On Giants podcast your first listen or watch every single day. And on today's show, I'm going to give you a few thoughts ahead of OTA number 3, which happens to be the first OTA that's being open to the media. So the Giants already having 2 OTAs in the book. This one is open to the media. I will be there. Matter of fact, depending on when you're watching this pod, I'll probably be there tweeting away and also sending out messages to my subscribers to the Locked On Giants text message chain, and also posting video clips and whatnot on my Instagram account at Patty Traina, P-A-T-T-I-T-R-A-I-N-A. But I want to do a preview here. I want to talk about some of the things that I'll be watching. I want to talk about some conclusions that I think we can draw from these OTAs. And then I want to get to some of your submitted questions in the last segment of the show. So that is on today's agenda. Let's get started. All right. What will I be watching? So I identified a few main things. And I think the first thing I want to see that I'm most interested in, because this is usually a major topic, is what is the health status of some of these players that were injured last year? You know, how much are they able to do, if at anything at all? Because that's going to tell us kind of where they're at in terms of their development, or I should say what their role potentially could be. If they're a young player, what their development will look like potentially. And I'm referencing with the young players, you know, guys like Wandale Robinson, Joshua Azudu, who had season-ending injuries. Darian Beaver's another one. How much are they able to do, if anything at all? Or will they be working over on the side with a trainer? So this time of year, head coach Brian Daboll is probably not going to give any specifics with regards to injuries. He doesn't have to, but the eyes don't lie. So, you know, you can kind of see what a guy is able to do. Is a guy on the side running? Is he doing agility drills? What's he doing on the side if he's one of these guys who are coming back off injuries? Is he working with his position groups, but not working with the team part of the drills? You know, so little clues like that can give you a little hint as to where guys are in their rehab without the coach really, you know, going into detail. So it'd be nice if he did, but I'm not expecting it. Again, Daboll doesn't have to provide that at this point in time. And I think if he's asked about injuries, he's probably just going to say, look, it's only May 25th. You know, the season doesn't start till September, which he's right. But still, I know a lot of fans always want to know, you know, what's the story? Is Rondale Robinson going to be ready? Is Sterling Shepard going to be ready? For the record, I do not think either one of those guys is going to be ready to start training camp. If I had to put any kind of bet down, I would say both of them will probably start training camp on PUP. I would not be stunned if both of them start the regular season on PUP. And that's for roster reasons, as well as, you know, what's the rush to get those guys back. So that's number one in terms of what I'll be watching. The second thing I'm interested to see is, how are the rookies integrating with the vets? Now, you know, it's not like you go to these camps and these OTAs, I should say, and the vets are giving the rookies a hard time, or the rookies are standoffish, or they're like little puppies following the veterans around, you know, trying to soak up all the information. But you do start to see things like, you know, who's palling up with who, who's, you know, kind of pairing up, if you will. So like, for example, in past years, I can remember when Saquon Barkley was a rookie and he came in for his OTAs, he was very attached at the hip to Jonathan Stewart, who was here at the time. So who might Eric Gray, for example, be attached to the hip at? You would think maybe Matt Breida, because Barkley is probably is not expected to be at this camp. Who, you know, how is John Michael Schmitz integrating with a mostly veteran offensive line? So just little things like that, you know, who's coaching up who? I remember another thing a few years ago, I can remember when Nate Solder was here and how he was spotted several times by me, as well as others, coaching up younger offensive linemen. So, you know, you just look for things like that, because that also shows early signs of who's a leader, who's willing to, you know, take a lesson or two from their veteran teammates. And it's just, you know, it's an interesting dynamic to see, because it can be very important who pals up with who and, you know, the influence that the veteran has on the rookie. So that's something to watch. New wrinkles and formations. On defense, are the Giants going to do more safety looks, you know, like they did last year? Or now that they have some more candidates at linebacker, are they going to go with more linebackers? I would think it would be the latter, you know, to really, you know, shore up the run defense. You know, how is the defensive line rotation going to work? For example, you know, you've got Dexter Lawrence, you got Leonard Williams. I don't know if either of those guys are going to be there on Thursday, but, you know, who's behind them? Is it A'shaun Robinson and Raheem Nunez-Roches, or is it going to be the rookie Jordan Riley, or is it going to be somebody else? So, you know, where's Ryder Anderson going to fit in? Any new position looks for these guys? You know, does Ryder Anderson, who I know the team liked last year, do they have him play nose tackle? Do they have him play on the end? Do they have they stand him up? You know, little things like that you look for, little wrinkles and new things that maybe you didn't see the year before. And on offense, of course, the big question is, how are they going to line up all these receivers? So is Paris Campbell, who's primarily been a slot receiver in his career, is he going to do some work on the outside? Where's Darren Waller going to line up? Is he going to be strictly in line? Is he going to work strictly from the tight end spot? They're going to put him in the slot. They're going to put him in motion. You know, what are some of the things they're going to do with him? So that's, you know, something to look at. You know, same thing with the running backs. Again, I mentioned Saquon Barkley will not be there. You know, he cannot report until he has a signed agreement or a signed participation waiver, which is not going to happen, at least not as of today, Thursday. So who's going to take the first team reps? Probably Matt Breida. But how much is Deshaun Corbin going to get? How much is Eric Gray going to get? How much is Kerry Brightwell going to get? And who looks how? I mentioned the receivers. You know, you're going to see Jalin Hyatt. You're going to see, you know, I mentioned Paris Campbell. You're going to see Jeff Smith probably a little bit. Jamison Crowder. Just how is that all going to shake out? So just paying attention to who plays where, what kind of formations, you know, what type of drills are the Giants going to run in the team formations? So for example, they've been working on the red zone the first couple of weeks. Are they going to open things up a little bit and try some of the deep passing game? You know, so that's always interesting to take a look at. And then how is the practice going to differ, if at all, from previous year? So, you know, sometimes you see new drills that are being taught. Sometimes the coach will change things up. I made the observation over on Giants Country that, and this is just a minor thing. I don't know if this was just based on the pictures or whatnot, but guys, I didn't see a lot of guys in red jerseys. So the red jerseys last year meant that they were injured and they had to be, you know, perceived with caution when going around them, you know, sort of like with the quarterbacks. So that might be a change. I don't know. What other changes to the practice might be there? Again, new drills, new way of doing things, a new order. So that's something I'm going to see if I can, you know, dial in on. And then one more thing I'll mention real quick that I think everybody is going to want to be keeping an eye on Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones got that big contract in the offseason. He is now being paid like a franchise quarterback. Does he look like a franchise quarterback? Is he making longer throws, you know, deeper throws down the field? Are his throws still looking good? Is he doing any design runs? You know, how's his accuracy? How's his relationship, his chemistry coming with his receivers and his new tight end? So these are all things, amongst others, that I'm sure that I'll be jotting down in my notebook. And as I mentioned, I think earlier this week, I will give you guys a OTA report. I will do a podcast. I will try to do the podcast on Thursday afternoon so that you have it for Thursday evening. So as soon as I get done with writing, I'll have all my observations and thoughts and takeaways and whatnot. But I'll also have video clips and stuff on Instagram at the Petty Trainer. And also I'll be tweeting and sending out, you know, to the text messages. So all that, if you want to follow me along, I will go off to a corner, stand by myself and just take it all in. So, all right, coming up next, what conclusions, if any, can we draw from the OTAs? I'll tell you right after this. Hey, Giant fans, with the NBA playoffs coming to a close very soon, there is no better time than now to make a fast break to FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Because right now, FanDuel is giving new customers a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if their first bet doesn't win. Just go to FanDuel.com/lockedon and sign up today to claim your no-sweat first bet. Get in on all the action of all the sports with great promotions, a safe and secure app to place your bets, and instant payouts. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. All right, Giant fans, welcome back to the Locked On Giants podcast. I'm your host, Patricia Traina. And on the previous segment, I mentioned that I would have an OTA report for you, an OTA podcast for you, which I would try to get done Thursday. It's technically Friday's show, but I'll try and get it out to you early on Thursday. And also wanted to remind you, check out the show notes, if you would, for details on the new Locked On Giants premium subscriber text service that we have, you know, with OTAs and the mandatory mini camp. And then pretty soon training camp will be here. It's a service that, you know, you might find to be useful. So just check out the details. And if you have any questions, just drop me a line. It's, you know, I know some people have asked, oh, is that going to work? Does that mean we've got to pay for the podcast? No, podcast is still going to come to you free and available wherever you get podcasts. But this service is just, you know, just a little sub-community, if you will. So check it out. It's available to try out for free 14 days. And we've got a special 2-for-1 promo going with the code PTRAIN, where you get, you know, your first 2 months for the price of one. The price of 1 month is $4.99. It's kind of like a super chat, if you will, almost like a super chat. I know some of you on YouTube have asked me about that. So that's kind of what it's like. So check it out. And if you can, give it a try. It doesn't cost you anything to try it. So, all right. What conclusions can we come to based on one OTA that we see in the media? Well, the answer is none. But actually, these are a few things I will remind you of. Number one, take all reports, including those from me, with a grain of salt. And I say that because the OTA practices are non-contact. So therefore, we're not going to be able to tell how the offensive line is doing against the defensive line. We are not going to be able to tell how well Deontay Banks is covering Jalin Hyatt because there's no bump and run allowed. So we're not going to be, there are things we're not going to be able to tell because it's a non-contact padless practice. So the reports you see, you know, where somebody says, oh, you know, Jalin Hyatt caught 3 touchdowns. That doesn't necessarily mean that whoever he was going against stunk. So, you know, depends on the level of detail you get. I'm going to try and give you as much details as possible, but don't panic is what I'm getting at. So don't, you know, say, oh my God, Deontay Banks got beat by Jalin Hyatt 3 times. He stinks. Nah, it's too early for that. And along those lines, folks, Jobs are not won or lost in May. They're just not. Training camp is when jobs are won and lost, because then you can put the pads on, you can really play closer to real football. So just don't panic again when you hear various reports or read various reports, whether it be from myself or any of the beat writers who are there reporting on the practice. Also, you may hear about certain looks or certain formations afterwards. And I think, you know, I've got to check, but I think the Giants, you know, kind of limit us as to how much we can disseminate regarding player deployment, which quite honestly, at this point of the year, I don't understand why that is, because what you see in these practices, quite honestly, that doesn't mean that they're going to get into the regular season. And I can think back to, you know, the last few years with Saquon Barkley, how many, you know, prior to last year, there were times when we would see Saquon Barkley lining up wide and working as a receiver. And then we would get to the regular season and that stuff would go away. And people would say, but Pat, I thought you said that Saquon Barkley worked lined out wide. And I'm like, yeah, he did. But just because he did doesn't mean that they carried it over to the regular season. So what I'm getting at is that the OTAs and the mandatory minicamp coming up, it's a time for the team, for the coaches to experiment with different looks and see what works and what doesn't. So just because something slips out that, oh, Darren Waller worked out in the backfield, that doesn't mean Darren Waller is going to work out in the backfield moving forward. It's just something that they're trying out. And, you know, I made this point on a previous podcast, but I'll make it again here. Even though the coaches study the film of the players, you know, every last detail, that doesn't mean that they know everything about what these players can and can't do. Sometimes you just got to get a player on the field and say, okay, you know what? Player X, he looks like the type who maybe can be an inline blocker, even though that's not something he's done a lot of. So we're going to try him as an inline blocker. And who knows, maybe he works out as an inline blocker. Maybe a guy who hasn't been a receiver much or has run many jet sweeps, maybe they work with that. And they find out, oh, you know what? We can run, you know, a receiver and have him do jet sweeps, you know, but his college tape never showed us that. Or he wasn't used that way with a previous team. So my point being is, you know, there's going to be a lot of experimenting going on. Yes, the coaches have a base idea as to what they want to do. They basically want to build on what they did last year and just build on that. But there's going to be, going back to my point made in the last segment, there's going to be new wrinkles. And what you see, or in this case, what we report, isn't necessarily what's going to be shown in training camp or in the preseason or in the season to follow. So just keep that in mind before you get too excited. The other thing, and this is a big one, please, no new injuries. Now, a lot of you have asked me, oh, can you ask the players what they think about the new turf? Folks, the players haven't worked in the stadium, to my knowledge. I don't believe they have worked inside the field house either, because we haven't really had rain in the area. So I don't think they've worked in the field house since the OTA started. The field house has the new turf, same as the stadium. The stadium, I believe they're setting up for the Taylor Swift concert next week, because that's quite an elaborate stage. So, you know, it's too early for me to ask anybody, you know, about that, about the new turf. So unfortunately, I can't get you an answer on that. I know a lot of you have asked me about it. I'd like to see the new turf myself. You know, I'd like to be able to get into the field house and see it. But unless it's raining, we're not going to be in the field house. We're going to be outside on the grass. So we're just going to have to wait for an answer on that, unfortunately, for those of you who have asked me about that. All right. Other thoughts? Just, you know, special teams, you hear about Adoree Jackson fielding punts and Jalen Hyatt fielding punts. Folks, don't blow a gasket over that. This time of year, that's commonplace. You see several guys fielding punts. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean that these guys are in serious consideration to do the job. let's see who gets the role once we get to the preseason games, once we get into even training camp. So don't panic. I saw some of that on my Twitter account. Don't panic over that yet. So, you know, there's still time for that because they don't really do full-fledged punt returning in practices. And by that, I mean, they'll either have Jamie Gillen kick or they'll send it from the jugs machine and the guy will just practice catching the ball, fielding the ball, because, you know, punts have a weird spin on it. Same thing with kickoffs. And that's all that is. It's just practicing balls handling. So I just want to put that out there because, again, I know a lot of people were concerned about that. The other thing, one last point, attendance. Now, I know some people are interested in that. Who's there? Who's not there? Folks, you know, I don't get too caught up in reporting attendance because right now, this time of year, it doesn't mean squat. All right. And I say that because we don't know who was at the first OTAs, the first two OTAs. So, you know, we might, you know, sit there and take attendance and, oh my God, player X isn't there on Thursday. Well, maybe player X was there Monday and Tuesday. You know, similarly, maybe player X, you know, we see player Y there. Maybe player Y wasn't there Monday and Tuesday. You get what I'm saying? So attendance doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot this time of year. And, you know, I'll also put this forward for you. Many of the guys who have workout bonuses in their contracts, they'll be there to collect them. Very, very rarely do you see a guy who just basically says, nah, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to collect my workout bonus. You know, a guy who I would question whether or not he's there every day. And again, it doesn't matter if he is or isn't, Leonard Williams. You know, he may or may not be there. Dexter Lawrence may or may not be there. Dexter didn't get a workout bonus as part of his new contract extension. So maybe he stays away. You know, not that injuries happen a whole lot during OTAs, but they do happen. You know, you just saw down in Washington, I think their tight end, one of their tight end candidates, suffered a non-contact knee injury. So it happens. You don't want it to happen, but some guys, they just say, look, I'm not going to take that risk. And that's fine. That's their prerogative. It is voluntary right now. OTAs are voluntary. So I wouldn't get too worked up either way if you read that somebody isn't there, because chances are whoever's not there is off working by themselves, training so that when it's mandatory to be there, they're ready. Okay. Coming up, I have a couple of listener questions that I want to answer, and then we'll call it a show. So don't go anywhere. All right, Giant fans, welcome back to the Locked On Giants podcast. I'm Patricia Traynor, your host. And in this segment, we're going to answer a couple of listener submitted questions as we wrap up this edition of Locked On Giants podcast, in which I'm previewing the OTAs, which they started Monday, as you know, but Thursday, today, is Media Access Day. So I'll be there working, writing up stuff. And then, of course, I will have a report for you, which I hope you will check out. So let's get to the questions, because I do want to keep trying to work those questions into the shows where I have segments. All right. This comes from Joel Story, who writes, I'm constantly seeing that during OTAs, no live contact is permitted. I'm guessing no live contact doesn't mean that players aren't allowed to touch each other at all during OTA 7-on-7s or 11-on-11s. So can you tell me, how does the NFL or NFLPA define live contact? Great question, Joel. Live contact means full contact. So when you think about football, what do you consider full contact? You consider guys pushing into each other, you know, in the pit, driving each other back, bump and run, basically anything that could potentially cause an injury. So if you're doing a drill and you're tapping somebody, that's not considered live contact. You know, if you're patting somebody on the back, that's not considered live contact. It's anything that could potentially cause the injury, something that you would want to have pads on for. So no tackling, for example, is allowed. No pushing against each other. You can push against a blocking sled because the sled's not going to push back. You can't, go low to the ground or anything like that. So that's really live contact. Think again, in terms of anything that's football related that you would see in a game that you would need a pad for, sacking a quarterback, that's not allowed. You're not allowed to touch a quarterback. So those are just some examples that come to mind. Basically, it's kind of like flag football in a way without the flags. So, you're allowed to tag somebody, which constitutes a tackle in the non-contact practices. Again, if you're working one-on-one with somebody, you can, if you're an offensive versus a defensive lineman, you can kind of push at them, but you can't really push them, as though to push them back and push them on the ground. So the bottom line is you want to keep your guys off the ground. So that's, a roundabout way to describe what live contact is. Hope that clarifies that for you. Okay. This next question comes from John Brenner. And let me see. This is kind of a long one. This is a rules question. Yes. The game has changed so much in my lifetime. Up until the late 70s, offensive players could not even use their hands. Now they get away with holding on almost every play. Conversely, defensive players have not just had the infamous head slap taken away from them. They've seen more restrictions to their play put on them, especially over the last 10 to 12 years. Some of it has not been good. But much of it, in my opinion, seems excessive and has led to a massive imbalance between the offense and defensive sides of the ball, in which the offensive side of the ball has an unfair advantage that makes the game appealing at times. What say you? John, holding, yeah, that's a problem, but, it's a little different than what I think the rules are for defensive guys. So when you're holding somebody, the proper way to block is you want to get your hands inside a guy's shoulders. All right. But if you're grabbing onto their shirt or their jersey, or any part of them, their face mask, whatever, that's not allowed. Okay. Because now, or if you're holding somebody's arms, to keep them from, that's not allowed because now you're putting them almost in a defenseless type of state. So I think that's what they're trying to crack down on the offensive side as well as on the defensive side. But, holding for offensive linemen, you say they get away with it and that it's excessive. If somebody, initially makes contact and it looks like that and they quick release, I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. I don't think it's going to get called all the time, but so it really depends on the degree of the holding. Now on the defensive side, a lot of the rules that they have put in place are for player safety, which is kind of, I'm going to say it, hypocritical when you see these players are made to play Thursday night games or games get flexed and moved around and now they have short work weeks. I don't understand. Well, I understand it, but, don't sit there and tell me this is all for the good of player safety. But yes, it's okay to have these guys on 3 days rest and a short work week come in and play on a Thursday night game. I mean, that to me just, we know what's driving that. And player safety be damned in that case. But, you're kind of right with the defensive side of things because players are not allowed now to, if they get through to the quarterback, they're not allowed to put their whole body weight on a guy. The helmet to helmet hit obviously is has been looked at carefully, which, if a guy is coming in and another guy is coming and the one guy turns and his helmet gets in the way of a guy who's already in motion, how are you supposed to avoid all that? So I don't know if it makes it unfair, but it makes it harder to coach, I would think. Cause how do you teach a guy to pull up if he's trying to sack a quarterback? And, how do you teach him not to, if you're going at a guy, how do you teach him not to put his whole body weight on a guy? How do you teach him to avoid a guy when you're tackling him and it looks like your shoulder's going to get him, but now all of a sudden the guy turns and his helmet is in the line and your helmet's in line and it's going to connect. So it's just, I get it. They want to make the game safer. I question if they have succeeded in that. You know, I think, you know, they're trying, but short of making this flag football, there's a degree of risk. Injuries are going to happen. Stuff's going to happen. You know, I think these guys know what they sign up for when they, you know, put on the pads and helmet. Nobody forces them to do it. So, you know, I don't want to sound callous about it, but there is a degree of risk. There's a degree of risk of everything in everything we do. So, you know, the competition committee, they try and make it safer. I don't know how much more they can make it safer other than, like you said, to make it flag football. So anyway, hope that answers your question. All right, that's going to do it for us here on the Locked On Giants podcast. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you to the listeners who sent in questions. And don't forget, check us out tomorrow. I will have a OTA report on the podcast. I'll update you on Twitter as to when I think I'm going to have that ready. It'll probably be by early evening, depending on how my writing comes along. But I'll try and get that out to you early rather than have you wait until midnight or just after midnight for that podcast. So until then, thank you for tuning into the Locked On Giants podcast, and I will see you tomorrow, Giant fans.